those kids, so I felt that was good. That was fun. Thank you, worship team. I truly thought that as I'm doing that stuff. It wasn't even a joke. That was kind of serious. But thanks, worship team, for leading us. God uses the praises of his people. We've talked about that this morning in the adult Sunday school class, about how God just desires us to praise him. And we've done that this morning, so I want to thank the worship team and for leading us in that. I'm going to put a couple of shameless plugs in, because we're really excited with what's going to go on next week. Next week, as part of our Growing Deeper with Jesus, we're having our Hearing God seminar. And for the kids, they're going to be doing things about learning how to read the Bible. So if you haven't signed up already, or if you haven't signed up with your kids, please do so with the sign-up sheets in the back there. It's such an incredible thing that is going to be going on. You guys have seen it in the bulletins. You've seen it in the weekly emails. So let's take advantage of this time and just learn to figure out and hear how God speaks to us, because he's just this amazing God who chooses to do that. The other thing that I want to actually make mention of is Tuesdays at lunch. Probably for the last 8 months or so, Tana, something like that. Tana and I've met for prayer, usually around different things going on for that afternoon. But we want to invite you as a church to come, if you can, to come for noon or thereabouts on every Tuesday, to come for prayer. I believe that one of the foundations of any church, any healthy church, is that prayer permeates everything. And so we're going to hear more about that stuff later on as things get figured out downstairs. But we want prayer to be this incredible part of who we are as a church. So if you guys can come and make it from noon to about 12:30 on Tuesdays for prayer, I would really love that. And God's going to do some amazing things in and through that. I need to get myself set up here just a little bit this morning. Yeah, I'm trying to do way too many things at once. So, week two. Week two is here, and it's gone, and the kids are back in school. How are you guys liking as parents? To be honest, I thought I had more of that, more like, yeah, let's high five and all that stuff. But here's the thing that I've realized, too. Is that not only have our kids, our school-age kids, gone back to school, our college kids have gone back to either university or to college or actually to Bible school. Who here has gone to Bible school? Quite a number. Who here didn't like Bible school? Because there are a few of you out there, I've chatted with some of you guys. Okay, there are a few of you out there who, yeah, it wasn't so good. Who liked Bible school? Who thought it was just okay? To be honest, I love Bible school. To me, it was the funnest thing going on. I loved it because I got to actually play soccer at this fairly high level. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I went to actually Briarcrest back in the 1980s, because they had this phenomenal soccer thing going on, and I loved it. So I loved playing soccer there. I loved spending time with people and getting to know people. I loved to socialize. Oh, yeah, and I also enjoyed kind of going and studying a little bit. But when I think about it, the studying really took the back seat to the socializing and soccer and all that stuff. In fact, I remember this thing. So Dan became my actual roommate in year two. And so I'm trying to figure out, so God, why did you put Dan and I together? Yes, we're good friends and things like that, but God, you must have had a reason for Dan and I to be roommates that year. And I thought, I knew, because I thought, well, Dan was quiet, he was pretty studious, and that he loved studying things like that. I was a bit of a social butterfly, on the other hand, and so I thought, so God, the reason why you have us together is so Dan can help me to study and to do that better, and me to help him get a girlfriend. I seriously thought that. At the end of the year, Dan got his own girlfriend, and I ended up on academic probation, so that obviously wasn't the reason why Dan and I were together as actually roommates, but I thought that. Actually, he's still one of my really good friends today. We were in each other's wedding parties 100 years ago. He's actually the mayor of actually Caringport right now. But probably through the school, through being at Bible school, and I learned lots of stuff. I did so many things. But probably one of the most impactful things being at Briarcrest. Do we have any Briarcrest people here, by the way? Couple? I'm going to say something here that you might hear, you might know. But one of the things I loved about Briarcrest was sitting in the dorm room at night or going to the cafeteria or going to the SS for a CB. Do you know what that means? Okay. So back in the days, back when I was there, going to the SS is going to the actual service station for a CB, for a cinnamon bun. They're the best in the world. Okay. But I remember doing this stuff, just gathering together, and we'd start talking with some of the people and gathering around, and then conversations would sometimes go and say, so what do you believe, and why do you believe that? You say that you're a Pentecostal, great, you're a Mennonite or a Baptist, great, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What do you believe about that? Why is that affecting and changing your life? Did any of you do any of that at Bible school? Sit around and have those types of conversations? Okay, yeah, Nathan, because I remember you and I talking about that, right? There were just wonderful things to do because it helped to define and to start to shape what we really believed. You see, and my sense is this. My sense is that every person has a belief system, though we may not even put it into those terms. And this belief system is important because to varying degrees, it's the structure or the values that we have that kind of shape our lives. It's what we value or don't value. It's how we respond to situations or how we perceive life or how we put our trust and our hope. So our values or our belief system helps shape some of those very things. And as followers of Jesus, as people who come here and say that we follow Jesus, we have a particular belief system. And that system differentiates us from people who would call themselves Muslim or agnostic or Hindu or humanist or whatever. We have a particular belief system. So, as followers of Jesus, we'll back that up. Paul, you want to back that up for me? What do you believe? It's a really important question to ask yourself every now and then because it really is and really becomes the foundation for your life. And as a church, as the Richmond Park Church, we have a certain belief systems or certain set of foundational things that we operate under. And they're found in the Mennonite Brethren Confession of Faith. Okay? And over this next number of weeks through the fall time, we're going to be looking at some of these confessions of what we believe as a church. We'll make this stuff available to you next week as well. Just our 18 points of what we believe. And so as we start this series, I'm often asked every now and then, why do we call it a confession and not a statement of faith? And it really is a great question. Because in broad strokes is this. A statement of faith is a set of doctrinal facts that we would agree with. A confession of faith is slightly different. According to one article I read, our confession of faith is our core convictions, our commitments that we seek to live out in our lives, our service, and our witness. It's different. Our confession of faith is different than saying that we have a statement of faith. See, we can have a statement of faith, but it can have little or no effect on us, though that's not the intent. But just by saying it's a statement, it doesn't involve this deepening commitment to it. A confession, on the other hand, is actually much, much more personal. It's more personal because it's what we believe and how we choose to live our life. That this confessional stuff are things that we believe should affect our thoughts, our actions, and our attitudes. So that's why I believe that years and years ago that the Mennonite brethren chose to call this a confession because they desired that these beliefs be this integral part of who we are to be lived out. So that's why, and again, it's a question that I get. Why do we call it a confession? Because we believe that we need to live these things out. So, with that kind of understanding, we're just going to take just a few minutes to look at the very first confession of the Confession of Faith, and it reads this way. As a denomination, we believe in the one true God, the source of all life, who reigns over all things as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and lovingly cares for all creation. God the Father planned the redemption of humanity and sent Jesus Christ, the Son, to be the Savior of the world. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, bringing good news to the poor and triumphing over sin through his obedient life, death, and resurrection. God, the Holy Spirit, empowers believers with new life, indwells them, and unites them into one body. So this is the very first confession that we have. And again, you guys will have that next week. We'll have it out for you next week. But look at that. It actually says a whole lot about what we believe as followers of Jesus. See, at its core, we confess that we believe in the one true God who is the source of all life. If we were to set out our belief systems in the circles, at the very center of that circle, the very core, the very hub, is this very statement, that we believe that there is one true God and the source of all life. Though much can be said further on about this confession, I want us to look at two things in particular. And I'm going to do it this way. Tell me, what is the very first words of our scriptures from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? What are they? In the beginning, what? God created, right? I love that. Okay? In the beginning, God created. This is what we believe to the core of who we are, that we believe that God existed from the beginning, that there was nothing before him. To use a theological term, that he was a pre-existent one. And as such, that means, as our confession says, that he is the source of all life. Because, as Genesis 1:1 says, that he created the heavens and the earth. And we sang a lot about that this morning, and I so have appreciated the team leading us in that way. So think about that for just a moment. Look at this verse and think about it. That we believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Think about that. See, my understanding from science is that they're continually discovering how vast, how broad, how immense this universe is. That it is far beyond that they had once thought. That was created by God. Not by humanity, not by aliens. It just didn't evolve out of nothing. It didn't evolve out of nothing. God did it. His hand was on it. And that really leads us to the passage that we have for this morning, and that is Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And it says this: they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. You see, I don't know about you, and I don't know about the conversations you've had, but sometimes I get asked this question. Proof. Prove to me that God exists. You say that you believe in God, prove it. Prove to me that he exists. And the proof is, folks, is when we walk outside of this building and we look. And we look up to the sky and we see the billions upon billions of stars. We go on our holidays and we go to the mountains and we see the majesticness of the mountains and we see the snow and the rain and all that stuff that happens on this earth. Then we go at night and we look and we see again the stars and we see the Milky Way and all of the galaxies. And then we come back to this earth and we go and we look at the fall time. And we see the trees, and we see them changing color. We see these things happening. When we go outside of these walls, and we start to look, we see a world that is beautiful. Yes, it may be messed up, and yes, it is fallen, and yes, it is not perfect, but it is incredibly beautiful. When we look outside and we see and observe, there is an intelligent design behind it. It is not by chance. It is not by accident. How do we know that God exists? Because we have eyes to see. And we can see it. Found this quote this week, which I just loved. Creation is not just something God did a long time ago, but something God does all the time. God is continually at work. He is creating and recreating. You and I are being created and recreated. We are part of God's creation. Why is this so important to us? You know, my sense is this. My sense is that sometimes people say you're nuts. You're nuts to believe in God. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is at the core of our belief because he is alive and he is real and we can see him. That song that we sang, that great old hymn, How Great Thou Art. Verse 1 that we sang so well this morning says again, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Folks, God exists. We see his fingerprints all over the universe. When we get bombarded the fact that it has evolved out of nothing, when we get bombarded by the fact that God does not exist, let's not doubt. Let's not doubt the fact that he does exist. And he has created this amazingly beautiful world. He is the source of all things. So that's the first thing that I wanted us to be made aware of this morning as we've looked into our confession of faith. The other thing that I want us to be aware of and to make a notice of from our confession, and that is this, is that we believe in a Trinitarian belief about God, that there is one God being in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in truth, if we're honest, or at least if I'm honest with you, it's kind of hard to explain sometimes how God can be one, yet three. And we try it, and we do use the egg illustration and some other things, but it kind of falls short a little bit. And it really is hard to fully comprehend. But folks, that's okay. I don't completely understand the gravitational pull on this earth. I don't understand in any way the whole engine that we have in our cars. Some of you who've dealt with me with cars, you know I completely do not understand it. But I still believe in them. I still believe in the combustion engine that helps me drive my car. I still believe that there are gravitational pulls on this earth. Folks, just because we don't completely understand something, just because we can't explain it completely, excuse me, doesn't mean that we don't believe in it. We can believe in the Trinity because God is this way. He says to us that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have to understand it completely to believe in it. And something that is really, really important in this. So these manifestations of God, of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, our confession of faith says that God the Father planned the redemption of humanity and sent Jesus Christ the Son to be Savior of the world. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, bringing the good news to the poor and triumphing over sin in His obedient life, death, and resurrection. And God the Holy Spirit empowers believers with new life, indwells them, and unites them into one body. This is pretty cool, isn't it? The fact that God, in these manifestations of these three things as Father, Son, and Spirit, that they work together to do something amazing and something great. And that is incredibly important for us because of something that we read or that I read in the commentary pastoral application book of the Confession of Faith, when it said this: that the Trinitarian doctrine is the basis of an emphasis on a relational nature of God, that God is relational. We see that because of this interplay between the Father, Son, and the Spirit, okay? That God is in relationship with Himself in those ways. And this is incredibly important because this leads us to believe and to know the fact that God is that God desires to be in relationship with us. Because God, by nature, is relational, He desires to be in relationship with us. And we see this and we know this back from Genesis chapter 2, that God created men and women, and He had conversations with them. In fact, we know from the scriptures the fact that intimacy, that relationship was broken with sin. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, to bring us redemption so that we can be back in relationship with God. And that's why when we talk to people and we share this stuff, we say that we're not religious, but we're in a relationship. Because God has chosen to be in relationship with us. So think about this. Think about that very fact for just a moment. God did not have to choose to make us in His own image. He did not have to choose to be in a relationship with us. Even after our first forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned, he didn't have to choose to want to be in relationship again with these people who despise him and who reject him. He didn't. He chose to. It is truly remarkable when you actually think about it, folks, that the one true God, that the pre-existent one, the one who has created this amazing universe, has chosen through Jesus to be in a relationship with us. I think I've said this before, but to me, this is truly amazing to me. The fact that of the billions upon billions of stars out there, that God has chosen one star called the sun. And of that one star called the sun, He's chosen one planet out of, what, seven or eight, depending on how you view Pluto. And of that, and on that one planet called Earth, of the 7 billion people, he has chosen to be in a relationship with you and with me. It truly is, folks, a remarkable, remarkable thing. Now, this morning, in our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, we talked about a few different things, but one of the things that we talked about why we can praise God. We can praise God no matter what our circumstances are, no matter the things that are going on, because God desires to be in a relationship with us. It truly is the most remarkable, remarkable thing going. And really, that's what we celebrate this morning with communion. That God, in his love for us, and because he desired to be in relationship with us, has chosen to send Jesus to this earth. And we celebrate with the bread, which is going to be symbolizing of his body broken. That Jesus suffered a criminal's death on the cross. So that God, the Father, could be in relationship with us. And we celebrate with this juice here, the blood of Jesus. For the scriptures tell us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So God, in his love for us, because he wanted to be in that relationship with us, had Jesus die and shed his blood for our sins. Folks, I don't know what puts a smile on your face. This should be putting a smile on our face as we take communion, as we remember and realize the sacrifice that Jesus paid so that we could be in relationship with this God who is a source of all. In fact, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to celebrate that. I'm going to call up the worship team to come up and lead us. I'm going to call up the people who are going to come and help us serve communion this morning. Because we want to celebrate and we want to remember the amazingness of God and his desire to be in relationship with us. Scripture tells us that before we come and take of the bread and of the cup, that we should examine ourselves to have God look at us and see if there's any sin or anything that's kind of being a barrier from you coming and taking of these elements in the manner that is so worthy of these elements within the pure heart. So as we've done over the last number of months, and as we will do, we want to just take a moment before we go and to let God examine us. And if there's a sin or some barrier that's stopping you from fully engaging in this, or if there's some sin issue that you need to deal with, well, go and confess it. Confession is not a bad word, because we all mess up. Confession is a healthy word. So in the silence of your heart, let God examine you and then confess any sin that is there that may stop you from fully engaging in these elements. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are this God who not only desires to be in relationship with us, you're this God who forgives us of our sins. And Lord, as we've come and as we've been honest before you and as we've pointed things out to us, Lord, we've confessed that and we've repented of them. And Lord, you tell us that they're gone now. Those sins are not held against us, that they're gone as far as the east is from the west. So thank you, Father, that we can come and engage in these elements in remembrance of Jesus and that pure heart that you so desire us to. Amen. Amen. So, as we do in this church, what we'll do is we'll pray for the bread, and then we'll pass. But we're going to take it, we're going to hold it together, because I think that as we do so as a body, that says something, because God himself is multiple. So we, the body of Christ, are multiple. So we'll take it that way, and then we'll do the same thing for the cup. But if you feel that you ought not to take of the bread and of the cup for whatever reason, we'll just pass it on. No one's looking, no one's seeing who is or who isn't. This is a time between you and God. So again, if you feel that you ought to pass the bread by and the cup by, yeah, please do so. Can I have the ones who are helping us stand for a moment? So Matthew chapter 26, the Last Supper, Jesus says this. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. Mary, would you please pray for the bread?